This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I was wrong about Trump's possibilities, probabilities, and likelihood of becoming the nominee.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Trump has now received enough delegates to clinch the nomination to be the Republican nominee for president.
Thank you, darling.
He won. I lost.
I'm so honored. So honored by these people. They had such great sense.
Trump is so concerned about himself.
Guy says, I love your hair, Trump. You believe it?
He hasn't elucidated or explained in any way, shape, or form how he's going to get anything done from his stupid Mexican wall.
Maybe they'll name it after Trump. I'd really much rather have a statue in Washington, D.C.
He, of course, is in charge of our foreign policy and helped determine foreign policy.
If they're rattled in a friendly way, we're going to have great relationships with these countries.
I believe he's dangerous.
In terms of the draw, I won't have to worry about the draw. I'm the last person.
Careful, Democrats, what you wish for. Trump is very, very, very capable making Hillary Clinton crazy. He is now a 50-50 shot to be the president. But you don't start a fire to save a house. And that's my concern.
How about that whole deal?
God help us all.
Some people dream of going to work without their clothes on, or they can't find the last class on the last day of high school. Dream of falling off cliffs. My nightmare has actually happened. Donald J. Trump is the Republican nominee for president.
We're glad you were off yesterday, because when...
Why do you think I took the day off?
Well, we worried.
It was in mourning.
Yeah. We worried for you.
As soon as the news hit, we were like, uh-oh.
Remember that classic film, Mourning in America? Mine is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
I thought you were referring to Judgment Day, a different film.
You know, you start this, and now, look, I can't help myself.
I know.
And the worst candidate in history, Hillary Clinton, gets just barbecued by this new report on her email system and her email setup. She has a private server in her home, a private email server, which is nothing like what Colin Powell had and nothing like anybody else ever used. And she says she used it because she didn't want her private email commingled with her work email. Here's how you fix that. You don't use a private email for work. So she continues to lie. He continues to be a buffoon.
This was our fear. This was our fear, Steve.
It's supposed to be a happy day today.
It is a happy
day. It's
a
Walk of Fame day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a bad omen that Obama's at Hiroshima on the day after the day after Trump hits the number?
I think that was a coincidence.
6:14. I need to be held and rocked gently.
That's why John's here.
Yeah.
We'll all hug you. I'm kidding. We'll all take turns.
So close your eyes and hush-a-bye, baby.
Somehow it's not helping. Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, engineer Jim Carullo, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards will all be part of the Walk of Fame later today as we continue to fill up Pioneer Court with pigeon targets and with the opportunity to be remembered for a lifetime. For a lifetime. It's a very cool thing. And I want to congratulate Jimmy DeCastro on this, because he'll never accept this. You ever try to compliment our boss, Jimmy DeCastro?
Yeah, he goes, no.
Yeah, no, it's you.
He changes the subject.
Oh, he's the worst. But it was his vision and his idea. You know, when we all got back together in 2013, we put the band back together in 2013, and he agreed to come here and run. He doesn't need to run this place. The guy's got more money than Bill Gates. I mean, he doesn't. Bill Gates calls him and goes, I could use some cash to pay. So he doesn't need the hassle.
But we're glad he wants the hassle.
Of course. He's the best guy I've ever seen in radio. Mm-hmm. He literally is the smartest guy I've ever seen in radio, period. There's nobody else. So he comes back. He agrees to run it. And our whole mantra is honor the past, fix the present, build the future. And as part of honoring the past, he comes up with this idea for the Walk of Fame. It's brilliant.
It's a fantastic idea. And it looks good. It's going to be a great ceremony. The past two ceremonies have been wonderful.
And it does what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It tells the audience your loyalty through the years is appreciated and worthy. And we want to recognize the people that have meant so much to you.
And I'm enjoying hearing many of the stories, too. I know Chris Duffy, our production director, has put together these little vignettes. But yesterday we had Marilyn Miller on, Steve. Did you know she called herself, because we know sweet, kind Marilyn. She said, oh, no, I could be a Rottweiler.
She did.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You'd have to know Marilyn to know how funny that is.
Yeah. But she still smiles while she's a Rottweiler. It's amazing.
Marilyn Miller was like the thin version of Aunt B. She was like the nicest person in town.
Yes.
She'd, you know, do whatever she could. For, you know, Goober and Barney would come over for dinner. She'd make sure there was extra. But I've never would have in my lifetime called her a Rottweiler.
And nobody ever said no to her, except, well, Dave was wondering, was there ever an interview that Marilyn Miller couldn't get for Wally Phillips?
And yeah, with Mike Madigan.
That could be true.
Could be. She did. Did you see her email? She emailed us later in the day, and she said there was one, and she said she wouldn't say it on the air, I think.
She couldn't tell.
She couldn't say it on the air, but she would tell us, I think. But she did say that she dropped us an email after the interview, and she said, I would have written sooner, but too busy getting calls, all due to the popularity of the Cochrane Show.
Well, that's
How
nice.
About that?
That's nice.
People were texting in yesterday, too, saying, oh, Marilyn got us tickets to...
whatever.
Yeah, anything that they needed.
Well, if you think about it, and I'm going to talk about this later during the show itself at 10 o'clock, which you can hear the induction of the new members of the Walk of Fame at 10 o'clock this morning on 720 WGN and on the app and on 7WGNradio.com. And also, interestingly enough, on some dentistry. You'd be able to pick it up on some of your fillings. But Marilyn Miller was a producer of the biggest radio show in the country. There wasn't anything close to Wally. There wasn't anything close in New York. There wasn't anything close in L.A. It was Wally Phillips. And Wally was as big a star as Oprah was mm-hmm. here. And imagine the people that wanted a piece of Wally, a piece of whatever Wally was doing. Marilyn was a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn was chief of staff. Marilyn was not only the booker, she was the person who made sure the right thing happened for the show and the wrong thing was kept out of the show. Whether that was people asking Wally for favors or people trying to get, hey, can I sit down with you for a couple minutes? I've got a great idea for Wally Phillips promoting llamas. I got a llama ranch, and I'd love to talk to you about that. You know, whatever the case may be. And for her to do that in the 60s and how long did she have the job? Through the early 70s?
25 years.
Yeah. So meaning it ended when? I don't even know. What would have been?
Well, mid-80s.
Oh, really? It was,
well, no, but no, because Wally stayed on the air. Even after he left mornings, he went to afternoons, then he did a midday show.
So Marilyn stayed with
him. Yeah, and Sundays.
And then Sunday mornings after that.
Mm-hmm. So for her to do that job at a time where women weren't even welcomed in that, and, you know, women were secretaries,
right.
You know, and that was what you would aspire to. I mean, it's very cool. She was a real groundbreaker.
She absolutely was. And we loved her.
What she said also, I think Andrea asked, who did you replace? And she said she didn't replace anybody. That job didn't exist before she became Wally's producer.
Did she talk at all about how she convinced Wally she was the right person for it, or did he recruit her?
Oh, you have to ask her. That's a great question.
I was too busy mourning the whole Trump thing.
Wait a minute.
I couldn't
ask her. No, she did answer that. She did. She said she was in the office, and they said, you can have your pick of Wally mm-hmm. Phillips. You can have your pick of producers from anywhere
right.
in the world. He said, well, Marilyn should do it.
Right,
that's what he said.
Well,
Marilyn
great.
Should do it.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And good for Wally for doing that at a time where that didn't happen.
Absolutely.
Either.
Hiring the Rottweiler, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, right? Because you guys are all afraid of Sandberg.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. does it come with the position of being the producer of this show that you have to be afraid of the producer? Mm-hmm. Or the people on the show have to be afraid of the producer?
Oh, yeah. You should be afraid.
Sandberg, you know that everybody's afraid of you, right?
Yes, and if you don't break soon, you should be really afraid.
619, we're back after this on 720 WGN.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini, Walk of Fame member, joins us. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I got a question right out of the gate, and this involves someone I'm going to let's call him Steve.
All right.
I don't want to say who it is specifically, but let's say it's me.
All right.
Okay. Upstairs in my home, and I think we know, we're not talking about the double wide in East St. Louis here. We're talking about the summer place. Upstairs in my home, the air conditioning doesn't seem to be doing the same effective job. Now, I can hang meat in the lower part of the house. In the upper part of the house, not so much.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I would dare say a bit tropical. So vents are open. Vents are closed off in rooms that aren't being used. I have my servant Jeeves going around to make sure all that's taken care of.
Jeeves, I'm sweaty.
Yes.
So why not upstairs as far as balancing the temperature out?
Yeah. With so this is something now, and in particular, you know, our homes have not become tempered to this immediate heat. When we get the hot snap or we get a few days of really humid weather, the houses can really feel uncomfortable. Balancing and rebalance your system twice a year is very important. Your staircase in your home is like a giant piece of ductwork, and so all the cold air that gets pumped upstairs will just run down the staircase, which is why it's so much colder on the first floor and arguably down in the basement. Everything on the first floor, in particular the vent that's near where the thermostat is, probably in the dining room in your hallway, should be closed 50%.
Everything on the first floor?
Everything on the first floor.
All right.
The basement, those should be closed probably 75%. That's going to force more pressure. If you only have one thermostat in the home, it's going to force more of the cold air to the upstairs
space. I can't
even
tell you where my vent is in my basement. Do I have more than one vent? I must have more than one vent in the basement.
If it's a finished basement.
No.
The other thing you want to make sure of.
You know, it's no, it's not.
The other thing you want to make sure is that your filters are clean.
Yeah, I change those every day.
Okay, well, that might be a little much, but you want to make sure those are clean. Ultimately, you know, if this becomes a problem where you just can't get it balanced, you may have to talk to somebody like, oh, I don't know, American Weathermakers, about zoning the system.
Yeah, they're not comfortable until we are.
Correct, and they get you one of those Wi-Fi thermostats so you could play with the temperature while you're at work.
All right, so the key then is 50% vintage on your first
closed
floor.
Closed on the first floor.
70% closed in the basement.
Right.
Wide open upstairs.
Wide open upstairs. Right. And from there.
But give it a few days? Is that what you're saying? Like the system has to like learn because it's hot now?
No, the house has to change. So in other words, once you start, if you're someone that uses the, are you someone that uses the air pretty regularly?
I like to keep it around 35 degrees most of the time.
Everything inside the home needs to get to that temperature before you get to really comfortable. This is true also when the heating season comes. So
crazy voodoo is this. I've learned something every day from you. By the way, first caller always wins, and we have not taken a first caller yet, but we will in a moment. 312-981-7200, so stand by for that. Dave, you seem to have a follow-up.
Well, I do. I have the same exact issue in my house. I closed my basement vents all the way. It was very cold down there. Is there anything wrong with doing that, Lou?
No, you'll still get a little bleed through from the vents. They don't seal up like you're closing up a mayonnaise jar. It's just a question of resistance on the blower, but it'll force all the air up, and that's fine. That's not a problem. If your basement, when you run that air, will be super cold because the staircases just act like a ductwork. If you have a basement door, keep that closed.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I also have considered hiring a series of attractive females to fan me with palm fronds. Well, is that a good idea?
I'm happy to come over and make sure that they're placed in the right position. I'm just trying to be helpful.
Eric is on the phone and has a question for you. Eric, you're the first caller for Lou. What do you got?
Hey, Lou. I have a question for you about toilets, one of your favorite topics.
Yeah.
We have... three toilets in the house. The one downstairs will the tank will fill up with rusty water, and then it will be fine for a while, and then it seems to come back again. And I'm curious if it has something to do with possibly our water softener.
Well, it could. If that one is the closest to the softener from its feed, that could be an issue where if there's some deposits in it coming through. That could be the first point of contact where you're getting that rust in the bowl. A couple things you can try. They do make inline filters for toilets that go into the fill line that can mitigate that. I would probably clean out the brine tank in the softener as well. Remove all the salt if you're using pellets or blocks. Clean all that, wipe all that out. And if you're using a whole house filter, obviously change that filter. If not, and this continues to be a problem, then you may want to consider installing a whole house filter.
By the way, Eric wins the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air and your smartphone, brought to you by American Weathermakers. Home of the 60-minute man, call them up at 855-955-HVAC. A texter from the 630 says, we took Lou's advice from a few weeks ago and had a separate thermostat put upstairs and air redirected. Cost about $3,000, but we've never felt better.
Wow. Well, it'll cost that much if you have to do some venting. Okay. If the, depending on how the house is laid out, if there's two separate trunk lines that were already part of the in, the original install, adding a zone to a home can be as little, but I mean it can cost around $500.
And this from the 708, dear Lou, what's a good beer to drink while I cut the lawn this weekend?
Oh, if you can make it over the border, my favorite beer is by Nuglaris called Spotted Cow.
Which border are we referring to?
Wisconsin, because you can't buy it in Illinois.
Trump's putting a wall up there.
Yeah, right. He has been. And
that it's a wall of
made
cheese.
Of cheese.
Yeah, it's a wall of cheese. And Trump's name will be etched in it. Any words of advice for the inductees today at the Walk of Fame?
Yeah, we'll be attending, so try not to screw it up.
You want to be a part of the ceremony?
Well, no, I just want to come and watch.
Well, it's good, because you're not going to be in the ceremony.
No one invited me. I'm just showing up. Yeah. So, no, it's, you know what, it's a great honor, and it's a really neat thing that the bosses over there created, and I think it's a nice connection. You know, Steve, you do this too, right? You talk to listeners, and there's such ownership in our radio station by our listeners, right?
Yep.
They get it.
Yep.
You're sitting in that chair. I get to sit in that chair.
Apparently Bob Collins said it first, and Orion's followed up on it as well. And it's not ours. It's theirs.
Right. And so this, for me, is all about them and being able to recognize some of the people. And what I love, too, is a lot of the people that, you know, you may hear the names, you know, Steve Cochran or Wally Phillips or Roy Leonard, those names that everybody listens to. But as we all know, the people that you don't hear from, that the regular audience hears from, are just so critical to the importance of that radio station that did all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So
Guys
I'm
like
really
Jim Carollo.
About that, those people that are being honored in particular this year.
Yeah, guys like Jim Carollo. Right. You don't have a great chief engineer. You don't have a radio station.
That's right.
So, all right, go do TV.
See ya.
See you, buddy. That's Lou Manfredini. If you're coming to see the Walk of Fame ceremony, you'll be able to meet Lou later. Dean's here this morning live because he's going to be doing TV, and we'll throw him on in a second. And by the way, we continue to celebrate the birthday of Larry Wirt. Larry Wirt's birthday today. This is the Larry Wirt birthday show.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. There's two big things going on today. One is the Walk of Fame. The other is Larry Wirt's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Larry Wirt and I have a longstanding tradition. We're going to continue that today.
That'll be nice. Are you doing anything special for him?
No, I don't get him anything, and he doesn't give me anything.
Nice. Good. So. Typical guys.
Yeah. But happy birthday, Larry Wirt, and good luck. I'm not sure what you're doing these days with your career, but I wish you well. .643, couple of highs and thank yous. Tim Dunn at Naperville Golf Course was nice enough to have me out the other day. He's a good guy. We like Tim a lot. Big Cubs fan.
Cool.
And thank you to everybody at my place, the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club. We just did a little two-day mini tournament. That's where I was yesterday. I wasn't really mourning the Trump thing. Okay, a little bit I was. And but we had a fine event, a fun event. My friend Kevin Shields and I played.
And you played well, too.
Yeah, I played okay. And yeah, at the end. We came back from miserable to respectable.
You know, when you think you don't play well, I would love to have that score just for one day.
Plus, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because we had a pretty good final match going, and we lost the last two holes. So here's what golfers do. You don't focus on the good things that happened. You focus on, but if I could have done, but if this had happened, I just missed that whole thing. But thanks to everybody at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Course as well, and hi to all you folks. Did I mention it's Larry Wirt's birthday?
Mm-hmm. You did, yeah.
Mike, come up with Jake, Mike, whatever I call you. Would you come up with some sort of sound effect every time I mention Larry Wirt today? Because I'm looking for serious suck-uppage points here. This is a guy that runs Tribune Media, has been a friend for, I don't know, 25 years, 20 years, whatever. And Larry Wirt, he's a guy that runs a company. He's a great guy. And today's his birthday. So I would like to have suck-up points for the entire show.
Why don't we do this? I'll chip in. And by I'll chip in, I mean you pay, and we'll sign the card, and we get him something.
You can't, but Larry's super successful. You can't buy him anything.
No, this is what I was going to say, though.
A thong?
No. Not a tangible gift. Let's get him, like, a singing telegram, like a barbershop quartet.
Something embarrassing?
Yeah, like, Larry, you are our guy. You know how they do that.
You've met Larry. Larry's been in situations in his life. I don't think Larry's embarrassable.
Oh, I think this could be embarrassable.
How about a gift card?
Everybody likes
a gift card.
Yeah, a gift card's good. Remember a couple of years ago when I got him $100 at the dollar store?
Yes.
And the kid at the dollar store was so thrilled because no one had ever bought a gift card for $100.
What if you can get a lot of stuff there for $100?
Yeah,
100 things.
What if the barbershop quartet was you, Enid, John DeCoste, and Scary Mary?
We wouldn't be able to do it because Mary would yell at us halfway through it. Pat Brady is here. Pat, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we will speak with a whole bunch of people in regards to an absolute travesty going on in Springfield. And that is the Speaker of the House, my words, not yours, but feel free to chime in when we get there. Mike Madigan has put forth a budget which can only be summed up one way. He's not even trying anymore. He's not even trying to do the right thing. He's not that he ever was, but he's not even trying to make a decent effort to put a budget in that can get approved. We'll explain all that coming up. But Steve Anderson will be with us.
Steve Anderson, Christine Rodonio, the leader, Republican leader in the Senate, and I believe
Leslie Munger,
who has the hardest job in the world and can really explain exactly what these numbers mean.
All right, so we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour and get behind the scenes a bit here and talk about what's happening. In the meantime, John DeCoste is out on Pioneer Court. He's handling the pre-show duties, and he's on the red carpet right now for the Walk of Fame this morning. Let me go there now. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm actually not there yet. I walked the 3 blocks to the bus, grabbed the bus to get to Pioneer Court, and it should be coming soon. I think I'm on the right bus.
We need to have an escort with him at all times.
Steve, does he know the Pioneer Court is literally 2 steps from our showcase studio here?
So, John, when you get to Pioneer Court, we want you to paint a picture of what's happening out there. Talk to some of the celebrities that are arriving. Yes?
No, I was going to say, I can't wait. I mean, when you think of the famous people that are in the Walk of Fame, Lauren Bacall, Betty Hutton, June Allison, Dick Powell.
That's not the right Walk of Fame.
He's on the wrong Walk of Fame.
Do you think he's taking the bus to go to Hollywood?
I thought, how hard could it be? Put him on the Walk of Fame, and he could talk about the Walk of Fame.
By the way, he's walking around with a red towel in his hand, too. Do you want to tell him that doesn't look like that's not red carpet?
The red towel is actually the closest thing we can come to red carpet. So when he comes across a celebrity, he's going to put the red towel down, and they can stand on it.
Perfect.
So.
I think.
Dean Richards later. Dean's actually here on Pioneer Court, And then in the 9 o'clock hour, I'll disappear for a while, getting ready for the show at 10. And amongst the Andre. Oh, and thanks for filling in yesterday. You guys sounded great.
Oh, we missed you.
We did miss you. But we had a great time.
That's crock, but you guys sounded great.
You didn't listen. Did you listen?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you guys sounded really good.
We were hoping you wouldn't listen when we broke the Trump news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were nervous.
I think I said you would be standing over a putt at that point and you'd knock it into the water.
That would explain how the first 9 holes didn't go so well. But nice job by you guys. And in the 9 o'clock hour, you'll do the show again because, whew, I'm winded.
Well, you're prepping for your big
Your makeup.
Yeah, hair and makeup.
Yeah, hair and makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Or in my case, and makeup.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Not bad. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the word happy, on Memorial Day, and this is not out of malice. Nobody does this, you know, with bad intent. But we all need to remember that Memorial Day is a day set aside to remember those who have served this country and given the ultimate sacrifice. It's not about barbecues and softball games and drinking and eating and all that. That's an ancillary benefit of living in the greatest country in the world that was protected by those who came before us and have done that. So while honoring your own who have gone, please remember to honor those who you never met, who served so bravely on our behalf. And try not to say, okay, maybe it's a pet peeve of mine, but try not to say happy Memorial Day. It's just a little weird. That's all.
Yeah, just, well, and thank all the vets.
Enjoy
the
day, and please remember those who the day is about.
And thank those still with us for their service.
Right. That's all, Doc. My sermon's over.
No, I think you said it well. You know, thanking them for their service, it allows us to live the way we do, and we're very fortunate to live in this country.
Freedom isn't free, as so many have said before me. All right, so let's talk about those military members. What sort of basis? And now, we know the people, you know, at the VA here, the Captain Lovell Healthcare Center, they're doing a gangbuster job. They put together 2 separate medical facilities of civilians in the military, and they're really kind of state-of-the-art for the VA around the country. But in general, what do we know about veterans' health?
Yeah. you know, veterans' health is one thing that we really need to work on. The one thing is it's a little bit fragmented. Although they have great places like here, but think about individuals who live in Springfield or live in the middle of, you know, in the country here. Getting access to some of those veteran centers are very difficult. But that being said, the ones that we do have after the mishap a few years ago have done great. You know, they were the first one to have an electronic medical record. So while the rest of us were on paper, the veterans were already on electronic medical record. But one thing that I wanted to bring up is, you know, the study came out, or the results came out from the Pentagon early in May, that suicide rates among veterans and among active military as well still remain very high, double what the national average is. So one thing I think we all really need to do is, you know, if you know a veteran, if you know somebody who's active military, you know what the signs of depression are, know what the signs to look for someone who's potentially considering suicide.
And, Doc, there are so many support groups out there, too, for mental health issues and whatnot, and just PTSD. And there's also a very good friend of mine's mother just joined a parental support group, too. So those are out there as well.
They definitely are. The study, the military, the Pentagon, is $50 million into a study to algorithms to try to figure out which ones are going to be at the higher risk. There's a 1-800 number line that veterans can call to discuss depression and potential suicide concerns with a live person 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There are texting lines. You can text somebody and someone will respond to you immediately. And then there's all the support systems in the community. Just because you're a veteran does not mean that you not have access to those as well. So, you know, really the awareness of what's out there that's available, and then also probably more important is the awareness of us, maybe individuals who are not depressed, to look for those individuals who may be making a bad decision here.
By the way, I've lost a couple of friends to suicide, and I know more about this than I would ever have liked to have learned. Having said that, one thing I learned, Doc, and you can speak to this, is that when somebody starts talking about being depressed and maybe the world would be better without me, and again, it's not because there's any bad intent by anyone, but what you don't need to say is the stuff that makes you feel better. Like, oh, what are you talking about? You have so much to live for. Or don't talk like that. Or come on, cheer up. Yep. When somebody's clinically depressed, there's no snap out of it. There's no walk it off. And the best thing you can do is listen. And the best thing you can do is ask, well, why do you feel so badly? Talk to me about it. And then get them in touch with, for instance, the Vet Crisis Line at 800-273-8255.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking for some of those signs that you talked about, you know, someone that is noticeably sad and depressed and you're trying to encourage them to follow up, and then all of a sudden there's a flip of a switch and they seem very calm and happy, that's a red flag for us.
Yeah.
That's a person that something has changed there and maybe they've figured out this is what they're going to do. Someone that starts giving away their prized possessions. Here, I want you to have this. Why would you want me to have this? That's, you don't say that, but in the back of your mind, you have to think about that. Someone who's putting their affairs in order. Someone that wants to change a will. Someone that visits you that you've known, you know, that you knew in the past, that you're like, wow, why is this person here? You know, those are the signs that someone has taken their depression and has really started to think about the potential of a suicide.
I echo that completely. And one of the friends I lost literally left work on a Friday and wished everybody a great weekend and had all of her bills paid and stacked up nicely on a table and even made sure that her dog would be taken care of after she was gone and had done all the arrangements and was at peace with the decision at that point. So, you know, you need to, again, not create walls that prevent those who are depressed from talking. You need to be open to the talking and listening, even as painful and as uncomfortable as it might be, and have these resources at the ready. The Vet Crisis Line, 800-273-8255. Last word from you, Doc.
You know, it's awareness. You know, the suicide rate with veterans and active military is twice the normal. We should be looking for this in your neighbors and your friends and everywhere, but also the vets as well. And I think, Andre, you said it best. You know, you see someone walking down the street in a uniform, say thank you for your service. That means a lot to them.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks,
there
Doc.
You go.
Yep.
That's Dr. Kevin Most. Sound like he's still fighting that cold he's been fighting for 6 months. What, is he around sick people all the time?
Poor guy.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Workers' comp reform, property tax relief, issues to grow our economy and freeze our property taxes and get a handle on long-term property tax costs, along with procurement reform and pension reform, that we've made good progress. We're not there yet, but we still got 5 days.
712. I want people to hear this hour specifically. If you care at all about what happens in the state of Illinois, not just about people you don't know and whether or not their services are going to be paid for, but where we are headed. Because the Speaker of the House, the inimitable Mike Madigan, who continues to refuse to appear in front of any media, certainly won't do this show, yesterday put forth a budget that was passed out of the House that $7.5 billion over the number. Constitutionally mandated, we have to have a balanced budget. Certainly Mike Madigan knows it. And he puts a budget out that's $7.5 billion over the number. In other words, he's not even trying at this point. Pat Brady is here with me, and Steve Anderson is standing by. Steve is state rep for the 65th. Steve, we don't have $7.5 billion.
It was an amazing drop of a budget that happened two nights ago. We had less than an hour from when it appeared in the House Rules Committee to when we were called to vote upon it. We had to act quickly to even figure out what was in it. Quite frankly, we didn't have enough time to even really review that. But the bottom line was clear. It was $7.2 billion out of budget. The normal process that we're supposed to go through here, and honestly, I've been here for a year and a half and we haven't yet done this, is number one is we develop a revenue estimate. We figure out how much money do we think is going to come into the state of Illinois. And then you would think the next step would be to figure out where to prioritize and spend that money. Unfortunately, the reality here is just the opposite. We decide that we're going to spend $40 billion without regard to the fact that we're only going to get about $32 billion in.
Yeah, and building a budget around money you don't have is why, Pat Brady, I continue to come back to this statement, which I'm going to continue to hammer. He's not even trying now. His number one goal, when Mike Madigan gets up in the morning, and his number one goal is to try to make Governor Rauner look like a fool.
And keep himself in power. This is all these votes, and Steve, you can speak to this. These votes this summer, all last summer, all last year, what were these all about that the Speaker had you guys taken?
Right. We took about 18 different votes on property tax freezes, and they were all run by the same representative. They were all identical, and the only purpose of those votes was to put us on the record, if you will. They are mailer votes, target votes, where they want to show, you know, whatever message that they want to communicate. They weren't real bills. They weren't designed to do anything but create a political firestorm, if you will. Totally inappropriate.
So a colossal waste of time and citizens' money and manpower hours there simply to create brochures and emails and things that would be indicative of votes that had no purpose whatsoever.
Absolutely right. And, you know, when you talk about waste of time, look at this session. We're supposed to be in basically from January through May 31st. In the first 3 months of the year, we met exactly 10 days. We adjourned for practically all of March. That was time that we should have been spending in the Appropriations Committee, time we could have been valuably using to actually have dialogue. But the Speaker decided we weren't going to be in for March at all. To me, it's no way to run a government.
So who controls that process down there? Who in the House?
One man, the Speaker.
And what is the Speaker's side saying on or off the record? And I know mostly it's off the record to you guys. I mean, I would assume Democrats are stumbling into the hallways going, I don't know what he's doing either.
Well, I have a lot of good conversations with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. And notwithstanding, I think the Speaker's point of view, which of course I don't communicate with him directly, he doesn't come out to the House floor very often, but when I talk with the rank and file, and even not the rank and file, some of the mid-level Democrats, there is a spirit of desire to get to a solution here. I think there's a lot of pressure from below to get to a real solution. And we've seen examples of that now on at least three occasions with the higher ed funding bill, with the social services bill, and even, believe it or not, yesterday and the night before when they dropped that budget bill on us and they ignored completely the procedural safeguards for something as simple as verifying that the people who voted for it were actually in their chairs and actually voting for it, when they violated that, the next day there was a real spirit of outrage from both sides, from the rank and file. And what happened? The speaker came out and I think responded to that pressure appropriately and recalled the vote. So that we were able to have a more full and fair debate on it. And it actually changed the vote total. It went down. The support for the bill went down by about six votes.
Funny thing, when you're accountable, you might not vote the way. Exactly.
I'm telling you right now, and Steve, thank you for that. People want to stay in touch with what you're doing out of your office. How do they do that?
They can call my office. They can contact me via email as well. The telephone number in my office in Springfield here is 217-782-5457, and they can always email me at steve@staterep65.com.
Thanks. We'll be in touch again. I appreciate it. The Speaker of the House is actively engaged in malpractice against the state of Illinois, because yesterday, when he puts a budget forth that has absolutely no shot of seeing the light of day, and then doesn't stand up for it and discuss why it happened. Here's a simple question, and you don't have to talk to me because I know you don't have the guts to come on this show, but come out somewhere. Talk to the media. Do one of your cowardly group press conferences and come out and address why you did this. Because what's the end game here? Why would you put a budget out that's $7.5 billion out of whack knowing it can't be passed?
And the most,
or can't be signed.
When you had the governor on a couple days ago, I thought the most interesting point, which I think you've talked about, is he'd said that if I were dealing with the mayor, we'd have a deal. If I were dealing with President Cullerton, we'd have a deal.
There's one person blocking this. One. And his name's Mike Madigan. It's 7:19. Christina Redonia will join us in a moment for some continued perspective. And again, I'll say it the same way I've said it for 659 shows. Mike Madigan is welcome on this show anytime. We will cancel any guest to have him come on and answer fair questions by me about his behavior. Not Steve Brown, his spokesman, Mike Madigan. And again, we get nothing but crickets.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The money is not dispersed in an equal way.
We're from every corner of the state because our funding system in Illinois is broken, and we need a long-term fix now.
After a positive meeting that the Democrat leaders now share our sense of urgency of bringing this impasse to a close, and we are going to ramp up with our working groups.
Texters are angry. Is Springfield ever going to wake up? 312. In all seriousness, is there any way at all that as taxpayers we can get Madigan removed or impeached during his term? Texter from the 630. I don't understand the rules of it that keeps our Speaker of the House in office so long. Why are there not term limits? How is he allowed to behave this way? Texter from the 708. When are we as voters going to say enough is enough? Madigan, we complain, but we allow yo-yos to screw things up. When will we stop talking about it and actually do something about it? And from the 312, it's so nice to see Speaker Madigan on TV justifying his plans. Oh, wait, no, that's Kim Jong-un, who's more accessible than Mike Madigan. 726, the Republican leader of the Senate is Christine Redonio, who joins us now. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
I can't imagine the zoo you're in the middle of now, but where do we go from here? This ridiculous budget is put forth. What happens next?
Well, it's a non-budget. Let's be clear about that. It's $7 billion over the revenue we have coming in with absolutely no thought as to how to pay for it. So we still have 5 days left, which is a long time in legislative time. I do think that the Democrat Speaker and Senate President are beginning to feel a bit of heat over the situation, but they've stonewalled us for the better part of the year in terms of making some reforms that would then lead to a balanced budget. So I think they are somewhat engaged right now, but whether or not they want to bring this thing in for a landing remains to be seen.
Well, it's constitutionally mandated we have to have a balanced budget. So how could you interpret, because we have to interpret what Madigan does, because he never has the guts to talk to anybody in the media, How could you interpret this as anything other as a continued attempt to put the onus on the governor and punish the governor and penalize the governor because it's a personal war and Madigan sees the governor as an enemy?
Well, he does. I think he sees him more succinctly as a threat to his power. I mean, the speaker is very power-oriented. That's the bottom line. I don't find him particularly policy-oriented or interested in the long-term health of the state. So if he perceives that the governor would want to penalize the people that keep him in power in any way or hurt them, he's going to react. And that's what you're seeing now. He basically, the speaker, has given constituencies that give him money veto power over any good policy.
And all of this is just to stay on the job. But why do you have the job to begin with if your only purpose is to keep the job?
Well, you know, if that's the only thing you have going for you, I guess that's what you do. But remember, he has a lot of accomplices in this. And those accomplices are every single member of the Democratic House caucus that keeps him in power, and also the Senate Democrats who are refusing to cross him. I mean, they allow him to do what he wants to do. Now, we're hearing rumors today, maybe they'll not pass this wildly unbalanced budget that he passed. But they're still roadblocking any reforms. They're afraid to cross the speaker.
Senator, the constituencies you mentioned, who are they? Are you referring to the public sector?
Public employee unions and the trial lawyers.
In the public employee unions right now, if I understand the way it works, they give the Democrats money and the Democrats give them what they want.
Exactly. And that's what the governor refers to as the most corrupt bargain, because they are basically funding the people that give them what they want, and taxpayers can't afford it and have no say in the ability to negotiate that.
And of all the things that the governor ran on, the 45 or 50 planks of his platform, how many has he basically conceded on? How many are we down to now? How many items of the reform agenda that are actually still on the table?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but you raise a very good point. The governor started with a pretty robust plan, and he has been more than willing to negotiate to the bare minimum that he thinks would begin to turn the state around. But he's not going to accept phony compromise. And, you know, something that looks like it progresses us, but it doesn't, that's not okay, because the people of this state are unwilling to pay more for the same lousy government that they've had.
You know, you're one of the nicest people I've ever known, and I can actually sense some anger in your voice today.
Yeah, it is really frustrating.
Well, it's got to be, because I'm telling you, the symbolic image of a state full of people coming down with buses and burning clubs, you know, the moat better be pretty good around the Capitol, because people have had it, and people are finally getting to a point where they're fed up. And for the Democrats not to have a sense of self-survival here and to say, who are we going to protect, Madigan or us? I don't know when they're going to wake up, if they haven't already.
Yeah, well, apparently not. But, hey, we've got 5 days.
Senator, now what happens? All right, you have 5 days. The Senate didn't take up the bill yesterday. Will you take it up today or next week? And if Governor Rauner vetoes this bill, does that mean that the schools won't get the funding that is at least in this bill to open on time in the fall?
Well, if this bill doesn't pass yet, then we have nothing in place to open the schools in the fall. And it is my understanding, although I don't think the Senate Dems are firm on this, they may not pass that bill. So then the question is, do they have an alternative? And is it an alternative that the governor will sign, knowing again full well, as we've told him all year, that it must include reforms?
Christine Rodonio, the Republican Senate leader, and how do people stay in touch with you? Website best?
Yep, that'd be good.
All right, thank you, and please keep pushing. At Chris Rodonio, R-A-D-A-G-N-O. Really, I'm trying. There's no other way to say this other than Speaker Madigan is engaged in full malpractice of his job. And frankly, I would like him medically tested. I would like him medically tested for his mental health, to do this, because $7.5 billion is $4.5 billion more than the last budget he put up that was out of whack. And if you think there's not some ulterior motive here or some other agenda, I don't know what you're looking at.
Well, there was one state senator that said that they will never give Governor Rauner a budget.
Okay, are these the people you want elected?
Yeah, well, I mean, when the Republicans did that in the U.S. Congress, when Mitch McConnell said that, people went crazy when he said that they wanted to make Obama a one-term president. But they're doing the same thing here.
Yeah, and I think you've heard of me rail on the Republicans and the fools that they've been in regards to the Supreme Court nomination and everything else they've done. This is not a partisan thing. This is a, when are you going to care enough about your own state to demand that these people do their jobs?
And people are getting hurt, and the constituencies of the African-Americans, they're the ones that seem to bear the brunt of all this with the schools and the lack of social services. So I would think that caucus would really want something done.
And if you're a member of a public service union, or you work for a trial lawyer, or you've benefited from a trial lawyer, let me ask you a question. At what point are you going to say, well, how come Mike Madigan can't even come out and answer questions about this? You're a lawyer. You have to defend stuff all the time. Why isn't he even willing to defend his actions?
He's an elected official. He has an absolute right to the voters of the state of Illinois to come out and explain this budget, which we're paying for.
You got a better chance now of finding Jimmy Hoffa's body than finding Mike Madigan and asking him questions.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Before we continue with a new feature called Cavalcade of Knuckleheads, and that's all about Springfield, let's go outside as we continue to set up for this morning's Walk of Fame ceremonies. I will emcee it at 10 o'clock in the first hour of the Bill and Wendy Show, along with Steve Bertrand. John DeCoss is on the red carpet. John, what are you seeing?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, are you... Pioneer Court is right next to the studio. How cool is that?
It's very convenient. Who do you have with you?
Oh, sorry. Dean just got pulled away. This never going to work. Hey, there's pizza out here.
All right. Again, you've been listening to an exclusive report live from the red carpet. Hey,
wow.
There's pizza out here, and the celebrities he had pulled away. Andrea, from your vantage point, yes. What can you see?
What I can see is that people are starting to arrive on Pioneer Court. Steve, Dean Richards is already out there with our good friend Anna Balaval, Tyra Martin from Channel 9 out there as well.
And I thought, John, he really got some in-depth information from both Anna and Dean.
I think so, too. And what was interesting to watch is when John said, okay, we're on, and he started to talk to Dean.
And Dean turned away.
Yeah, I think Dean did one of the talk to the hand,
and again,
don't have time for you kind of thing.
And again, John's entire report was, oh, they just turned away. I can't talk to him. Hey, there's pizza out here.
Lou Malnati's out there, yeah. So a lot of people starting to show up, Steve. Looks like a big crowd.
We'll broadcast it live at 10. Hopefully a lot of you will be here, and please feel free to say hi. Looking forward to seeing you. At 7:43, my friend Pat Brady's here. Pat, the former Republican leader in the state of Illinois. Couldn't be more proud of his party, nationally and locally.
Yeah, it's not been a great time.
So,
but
all right.
The Libertarians are having their meeting this weekend, so maybe we'll get a candidate out of that.
Yeah, and their convention's this weekend, right?
Yeah, Bill Weld, the former Massachusetts governor, pretty impressive guy. Maybe he'll come out of this.
And is he likely to beat Gary Johnson?
I don't know. I don't know what the mechanics are. I don't even know what their process is. But he'd be a legitimate candidate.
And they're on the ballot in all 50 states.
Yeah, and that's the last chance.
All right, back to the budget here. Get me off this train and tell me why I should get off this train of what's Madigan up to. What's the point? What's the point of putting up a budget that's $7.5 billion out of whack?
I think Senator Redonio said it best, and I think we've talked about it. It's all about maintenance of power. None of this is good policy. I mean, the policies, people know what the good policies are. We need work comp reform. We need the things the governor talked about. We need some property tax relief. We need to break the stranglehold of the public sector unions over the Democrats. We need term limits. We need redistricting reform. These aren't real difficult concepts, but on the Democrat side from him, it's more just about getting reelected than it is good public policy. And I think the governor, when he ran, said, I'm not worried about the next election. I'm worried about the next generation. And he's standing firm. I know he's catching a lot of grief, but I give him credit for doing what he said he was going to do.
Madigan, and I'm not even joking when I say this, I think there might be something wrong with him, because I don't know how you go to work as the leader of the Democratic Party, officially and unofficially in the state of Illinois, and do absolutely nothing for the people of Illinois, which is what this is, and then not answer to it.
For 40 years.
But it's never been worse. It's never been worse than it is right now in regards to his behavior and his lack of accountability for the behavior.
Well, the chickens have kind of come home to roost because some of the mistakes they made in the mid-2000s on not funding the pensions, some of the gimmicks they did with the cost of living increases in the pensions and the pension ramp-up, which Republicans were complicit in some of, too. I agree it is absolutely the worst I've ever seen it, but that took 20, 30 years to get here. And then the Blagojevich mess.
But if you were a business, why in God's name would you move to Illinois right now?
You won't.
If you were a family of four considering moving here for a job, knowing that the schools might not be funded, why would you come here?
And you won't. And that's the governor's whole point. We want to have more taxpayers, not more taxes. And you can't get more taxpayers if businesses are leaving and people are leaving.
The best business right now would be an Uber to move people to any of the states surrounding Illinois because people are leaving.
That's true. That's true.
But the sad thing is, from my view, this is the greatest state in the union.
Well,
it's the greatest city
in
the country, and we're messing it up.
But we're allowing one politician to continue this mess, to not even have the most fundamental process of any government, a budget.
Agree, but you know what? People have to fight back. And by fight back, I mean you need to make phone calls down to the Democrats in the House and to the Speaker and say, we don't like this. It does have an effect.
But when you have someone who doesn't listen, kind of to Steve's point, he's basically lost the public trust. I guess at this point, aside from voting in the election, of course, can anything be done? Has he done anything impeachable or able to have him removed from this position?
Can you impeach the Speaker of the House?
I do not know. I don't think so. It's a vote they all take in the very beginning of the session, and he's a Speaker of the House for the session. I'm not sure what can be done.
Well, then I would advise you, whoever your rep is, Republican or Democrat around the state, to just send them a letter, a note, an email, or a phone call to say, if you support Mike Madigan, or possibly even if Mike Madigan stays in power, I will not vote for you.
And Steve,
threaten people's jobs the way they take advantage of you to keep their jobs.
And process is boring, I know, but if you were down there watching it like I was and you just see this bomb gets dropped an hour before they vote on it, a 500-page
yeah,
document.
Yeah, people need to understand that. He puts the budget out, 500 pages. Yeah. You have 1 hour before he calls the vote because he decides when the vote's going to take place.
And that thing's been sitting in his closet since last June. I mean,
well,
he knew
of course
what
it
was
he
do.
Didn't. Yeah, he didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, and it's not what it, and the other thing, and again, it's probably boring because it's processed, but he does, over the years, has accumulated so much power in the rulemaking, how the rules of the game are down there. He literally controls all of it, who gets on the committees, what bills get called. I mean, that's the power of the speaker, but I got to believe we have the most powerful speaker in the country just the way the rules are set up. So those need to be changed, too.
Yeah, and maybe the most corrupt, because this is corruption. This is absolute, whether it's legal or illegal, this is corruption of the duties that he's been empowered to have for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I don't understand. I never have understood what the end game is then, if it's just because there's nothing good that comes out of this.
Well, that's the other piece of this, right? Because if this is all about maintaining power and keeping your people reelected, he's got plenty of propaganda. He's got stuff from the last year without a budget that he could print and newspaper headlines that he could cite. He doesn't need any more propaganda. So what is the point now?
I don't get it. I never have understood it. But the one thing we can do, we have the term limits amendment. Hopefully we can get done and redistricting so this doesn't happen again. But it makes no sense where we are now. But it's
And for anybody who's going, well, why can't the governor just give in? Well, tell me what that's going to solve. If the governor were to give up on everything and just sign off on what Madigan wanted at this point?
Well, everybody gets hit with a $1,000 per average family tax increase.
Immediately.
And we're going to have no structural reforms of a system that's bloated and inefficient. And that's what the governor has ran on.
Well,
so he cannot give in.
We saw thousands of parents here, parents who left their jobs to come here and be part of this because they care about their communities, they care about their schools, and they care about their kids. And that's what the governor needs to hear.
It's Forrest Claypool yesterday talking about school funding. Got another texter who said he's a dad of two beautiful daughters who work with kids with autism like my daughter Amy does. And those two are independent vendors who aren't getting paid by the state. I mean, the worst case scenarios where the most fragile people in the state who need the most support are not funded because Speaker Madigan won't do his job. Leslie Munger, state comptroller. All right, so let's go to the worst case scenario here, Leslie. What type of damage are we talking about?
Oh, well, good morning. Thanks Hi. For having me on this morning, Steve. Good morning, Kat. We are limping along now without a budget, trying to keep things paid. We have a number of groups that you just mentioned that are not covered by any of the court orders we can't pay, including mental health facilities, services for sexual assault victims. Our universities and colleges have only received a small portion of what they're owed. And if we enter the new fiscal year without a budget and are continue to be unable to make those payments, I think this is where we are really going to have the most catastrophic effects. I think there will be organizations will just say, we can't keep doing this, close their doors. I think we risk some of our universities and our colleges opening that rely on state funding. And so it's just nothing is more important than getting a budget in place that's balanced. And I think that's why this is so concerning. You know, here we are 5 days left of the session when we need to be working on passing a budget that's balanced. And instead, what we have is a budget passed with 500-page budget with just a couple few hours to look at it, passed on a strict party line vote that spends $7 billion more money than we have. It doesn't address any of the issues that we have facing our state financially.
Leslie, at this point, when we're literally teetering on the brink, is it better to pass this out-of-whack, crappy budget that Madigan just pushed through the House or pass no budget at all and start from ground zero?
Well, this budget that was just passed actually would just be catastrophic. I've really been saying all year that we have to get a budget in place. I think really the only thing that's worse than not having a budget is having a budget that essentially doubles the level of debt that we have.
You can't pay for it. You can't.
And we have about $7 billion in unpaid bills in the state right now. This budget would add another $7 billion to it. We expect to end our fiscal year with somewhere between $10 and $12 billion of unpaid bills. So adding another $7 to that, it doesn't help to promise funding to anyone when there's no money to write the check. The practical effect of doing this is the people and organizations throughout the state who expect funding from the state will, instead of waiting for 3 to 4 months to be paid, will be waiting for 8 to 9 months to be paid.
Yeah, and give them a visual, Leslie, because Leslie Munger, State Comptroller, you're very good at painting this picture for us when you said those in the state legislature that want to get paid are going to go to the back of the line or an appropriate place in line. I mean, that's a visual for us that I think works. It's a line of people who are owed money, and we're going to have people who, again, like the listener with the two daughters, who have daughters who work with autistic kids, they'd be in the back of the line. I mean, all these small vendors who are doing great things can't do those things anymore.
That's right. And the concern is, and I've traveled all over the state, I've talked to so many of the leaders of these organizations. They've spent years building up these businesses and organizations to serve people in need. When they shut down, we lose the people. They go to other jobs. They go to other states that will actually pay them. And so to try and recreate the social safety network that helps people in need, that actually that does it at a fraction of the cost it would cost us to provide those same services in our state, if the state did it directly, it really will cost us more money in the long run. We have to help these organizations. And, the thing that's so frustrating for me is this just seems like some people think it's a game in Springfield. And it's like a game of chicken. And who is going to give in first? And I think everyone needs to understand this is not a game. Should not be an us versus them situation. The budget should not be a partisan issue. It's the responsibility of the legislature and the governor to work together to pass a balanced budget. And the way things are going, no one wins this game. We are all in this together, and we are going to have to pay for this. There's a group here that actually is called Truth in Accounting. They look at debt and assets for states on a national basis. And they just sent out their report. And Illinois, if we accounted for things like a normal business would have to account for them, we currently have over $200 billion in debt, and we have $26 billion in assets. And you don't need to be a mathematician to know.
You're just insane.
You're bankrupt.
Hey, Leslie, can we pull a Trump and go bankrupt?
I wish we could, but as a state, we can't go bankrupt. A municipality can declare bankruptcy. The federal government can print money
So we're on the hook no matter what. There's no way to discharge it.
We have to pay for this. We have to pay for this.
And we have to pay for this mean the people that are driving to work right now have to pay for this. The people who are at home now have to pay for this. This is not, there's not some magic money tree in Springfield. This is all coming out of your wallets and purses.
We, the taxpayers of the state of Illinois, have to pay for this. And it's getting to be a really big bill, and people understand that, and that's why they're voting with their feet. They're moving out of state because they know the bill's going to come. And so to pass a budget that essentially doubles down on what has been done before and doubles the debt that we have is really, it's just irresponsible. It's reckless. You know, when you're in a hole, the best thing you can do is stop digging. And we need to put in place some responsible actions that will get us out of this. I think it's going to include, I've said this before, it's going to include some cuts in the way we, in the state, things in more the operational budgets to make our state operate more efficiently and leaner. It should include, I think it will have to include some tax increases. But we keep hearing that we can only deal with this on taxes. And I think those who say that ought to sit down with a pencil and paper and figure out what the gap is. Because if we only raise taxes, we cannot raise taxes enough right now to get out of the mess that has been built in the state. We have to get our economy growing, and that is going to require at least some of the things the governor's asked for that will help make our businesses more competitive. And there are things that I think we can find common ground on. And I know there are people, some of the legislators in Springfield who've been working on that. So it's really disappointing.
Well, it appears, in my words, not yours, Leslie, it appears everybody's working on that, except for one man. And that man, again, is Mike Madigan. State Comptroller Leslie Munger, thank you again for that. And try to keep the Tums handy. You'll need them.
Thanks so much for having me on. Great to talk to you. And just hope we got five more days, maybe then get something done.
Thanks. And by the way, it's completely outrageous that this is coming down to the wire as well.
It's absurd.
But if anyone in their right mind can explain to me how the speaker could put a budget forth with $7.5 billion being the number that it's out of whack, and you tell me he's serious about solving the problems, there's nothing serious about that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Oh,
where's Steve?
8:12 in the morning, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Steve is in hair and makeup right now. This is very fun to watch you guys. John DeCoste, Vanity here, of course.
I was just outside. They were setting up the pyromaniacs.
Now, did you get the talk to the hand from Dean? Like, I can't talk to you, man, right now. I'm going on the Walk of Fame. I got nothing to say to you.
No, he was very nice.
I taught him that. Last year.
We're going to be going live to Steve Cochran and Dean Richards and Anna Balaval. Outside as well, too, this hour. Can you guys hear me?
You're not hearing
nothing.
Oh, no. We can hear them. So
they're getting wired up for TV.
Hey, we can hear them, so if they start talking about us,
you have something now?
We can hear them. Listen.
This is like...
A little louder.
They always do this to me.
Andrea is so awesome.
This is inside showbiz stuff.
Andrea, that was you. You just said that.
I'm sorry. I don't like Dave Bennett anymore.
That was you again.
Can you hear them?
Yeah.
You can hear them talking if you listen in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting ready to do a TV hit right now. We're getting set up, obviously, outside for our Walk of Fame, which is a star-studded event. The limos are already pulling up. The red carpet is out there.
The red towel.
Yeah, John had the red towel.
That's really not a limo. It's an Uber driver.
Oh, yeah. And, sorry, Amal.
So I think we're going to be able to hear them here, right?
Yeah, we are going to. We're going to be able to hear them. They're going to be. I think they're going to simulcast their TV hit with the radio hit.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried.
So for those.
I heard them talk about Dean.
Oh, see, we can hear talking Anna. About us. Listen, yeah. Andrea's awesome.
But they might be listening to television.
You know what's
no,
funny?
No, but they started talking.
See? Oh, you can hear that. You know what's funny? So we do our radio
you
show, very little prep,
that?
Just a couple people here and there, the main people right here. TV has probably 100 helpers or handlers for each person on set.
Yeah, when I was out there, even though I was just talking to TV people, mm-hmm. I had 32 people hold my phone.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just wanted to steal it.
You know what? I didn't get it back.
Do you have LifeLock?
That might be a good time to get it.
I got it. Shoot.
Did you bring us some pizza, at least?
Yeah, but I ate it by the front door.
Oh, yeah. Huge thanks to Lou Malnati's out on Pioneer Court today. Mindy Kaplan is out there facilitating and arranging.
Yes, and we have pizza in here, too.
Yeah, we got pizza inside here, too. This is going to be a great, great event. If you didn't get a chance to hear all week long, we've been interviewing some of the Walk of Famers. Marilyn Miller was on with us yesterday. Yep. Tom Peterson, Max Armstrong. You can hear all those interviews. Mm-hmm. I like those because they're kind of some behind-the-scenes insight. Like we were saying, John, Marilyn told Dave and I yesterday that she was called the Rottweiler. And if you for those who've never seen her, she's maybe 100 pounds soaking wet, the sweetest lady you would ever want to meet.
And I was going to ask you, Dave, and I apologize. Is this a tough day for you? Because don't you think you should be on the Walk of Fame?
Hey, we're going to go live outside.
Okay, we're going to go live outside.
We're going to go live outside. Here they are.
But we don't get out a lot.
No, I noticed.
So, but today is your day, buddy.
It is. But you know what really does, if anything, kind of encapsulates my career.
Yes.
People know I am the voice of Victory Auto Wreckers.
Right.
That old car may be worth money. Kyle, can we shoot over Kyle? Come over here for a second.
This is
Kyle Wisner, who's the owner of Victory Auto Wreckers. You thought it was the guy that the
Come
door
on.
Fell off.
For real?
Well, hang on to that, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out, buddy.
What an honor.
Wouldn't miss it.
Kyle, are you here Congratulations. So he can sign another contract to do the new
commercial? Oh, we knocked commercial? That out. We knocked that out with the last commercial. Absolutely.
It's forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But, you know, I've said so many times, the first line of my obituary will be Dean Richards, best known as the voice of Victory Auto Wreckers.
Well, I feel like I was second on third because it's TV, Victory Auto Wreckers, radio, or how does it rank?
I think Victory Auto Wreckers.
TV, radio.
You want to talk about legendary Chicago things.
Yeah. As it should be.
Victory Auto Wreckers. But one of the nicest guys in the world, just the fact that he came on camera right now. He does not like to be on camera. He does not like to be on the air.
Smile. Show it off. Show those pearlies. Show it off right there.
Thanks for coming, Kyle. We know that.
We appreciate it very much. Thanks, buddy. Thank you for coming out.
So, Cochran, you're in charge of interviewing all these luminaries.
He's towing your car away, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll need that in 10.
Yeah.
In charge of interviewing.
Talking to all these people today, right?
Yes. Well, I'm going to emcee the event.
Right.
As you know, last Friday, Dean got an award for 25 years.
Oh, I didn't know that. We were there forever.
Yes. This Friday, today.
You drove how many hours?
I drove 2.5 hours.
I just wanted people to know that.
Today's Walk of Fame. Next Friday, Nobel Prize?
Yes.
Next week, I've been named Miss Polish Chicago.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, so you're a very pretty girl.
About that.
I've said that about you for years.
Miss Kielbasa 2016.
But it's going to be great. It's an event right there. Mm-hmm. And by there, I mean over there. And we're going to honor all these great legends of WGN, including Max Armstrong, who everybody knows.
And, the great Floyd Brown, Tom Peterson.
Marilyn Miller, who was a producer for Wally Phillips when women didn't get that job at all. A real groundbreaker. So it's a great day.
Yeah. There are some amazing names that are out here on Michigan Avenue, just off Michigan Avenue, just in front of our
I think it's really cool that you're next to Roy Leonard, because I know you admired him.
He's my mentor.
Your mentor and mentee.
Roy was my mentor. I'm surrounded by Roy Leonard, Bob Collins, and Spike Odell. That's some pretty great WGN radio company. I could not be more honored. And again, we're hoping that I see the first person today put a cigarette out on my plaque. To somehow deface my plaque today. That is my challenge to you out here today.
The pigeons have been mostly hitting Dave Ennett's plaque.
Okay.
So, you know, there's an attack going on there. But overall, Dean has hope.
Because Dean is so awesome and loves to eat, we're giving away Lou Malnati's pizza all morning.
Right?
So if you want to partake, our crew has eaten about a whole box.
It's almost swimsuit season. I've got to be careful.
I'm sorry. Yep. And, I also just dropped the microphone.
Take a look at this.
$500.
Yummy.
We have this cool chocolate that I have to talk about, endangered species chocolate. We're giving this away, too, and Garrett's popcorns. We're done with all the plugs. I'm going to say it the way that Larry says it, that Larry likes when I say it. Live from Michigan Avenue with Steve Cochran and Dean Richards.
Larry would like it better if you did a little shake or something for him, I'm telling you.
How about we all do it?
That's going to take a while. We're trying to get ratings, Steve.
It's not sweeps anymore.
Yeah, really?
I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cochran. We'll see you inside. Back to you.
That was great. What? I love Anna Balaval. She rules. So what you were listening to was a simulcast between Around Town and Anna Balaval, honoring Dean Richards today because he's obviously part of that show and our show as well.
On WGN TV.
And Steve Cochran kind of stepped into that live shot going there. It was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I think
he did okay.
And he had to mention the pigeon thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I had to bring that up with my name attached, but whatever.
That's okay. Hey, Dean is openly recruiting people to not put cigarette butts out or put cigarette butts out on
that's
his
good
bike.
Idea. Well, they have it roped off right now. The velvet ropes are up.
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful ceremony and all the festivities. Pre-festivities getting underway. The ceremony gets underway at 10 o'clock this morning.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
The awards continue to come in for Dean. It's the summer of Dean. Every Friday, all summer long, Dean gets another award.
Anna has never heard the Dean Richards song.
Is that right? You're always working.
Time. Because by then, I've arrived at my location and I have to turn off the wonderful Cochrane show.
Well, that's a shame.
I'm living the Cochrane life. I have a MyPillow now.
Oh, do you really?
I'm not kidding.
We
got to
get you a mattress.
I need a mattress. And if you get me some Genucel, that's it. I'm living your life.
I may move
in with you.
Yeah, listen, there's plenty of room. Dave's there.
In the double wide?
Time, in the double wide in St. Louis. But I think it's a shame that Channel 9 doesn't allow you to have the show constantly piped into your head while you're working.
I have enough with their own show, with WGN Morning News piped into my ear all the time.
There are a lot of voices in your head.
Yeah, not to mention, I was going to say, the ones we normally hear, even when we're not on air.
But how about our little Deanie, huh?
It's a Deanapalooza.
It's unbelievable.
It's silly.
Yeah.
It's not silly, though.
I had the pleasure of meeting your mom last week for the first time, and she's got to be just thrilled with you. Because you think about all the years she wondered if you'd ever turn out to anything.
I think that was just up until last week.
Right.
Up until last Friday. Honestly, I'm not sure if you're entirely sure what I did for a living, really, until last week.
I had a grandmother who thought, you went to TV radio school, can you fix my Zenith?
That's
right. Exactly what
you
she thought.
You know what? Seriously, my father, when I first started off in the business, he didn't quite understand the concept of that I can make a living talking on the radio. He said, so what does this mean? Like, you fix radios now?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my father for a long time thought, so it's the same crap you got in trouble for in high school? That's what you do now for a job?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my mom thought I was going to work for like something like the Today Show. And then I brought her for a Mother's Day. And Paul Conrad said his mother was a drunk. And my mom's like, this is not like Matt and Katie. They are making fun of people here. I'm not coming back on this show. I'm like, Ma, she really thought I had amounted to something better than, I guess.
I find it hard to believe that Conrad ruined it for you and your mother. Yeah. You know, he's normally such a help.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
And is she really an alcoholic? No, Ma, he's kidding. I don't know. He was so serious.
When I was in high school, at one point I said, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a radiologist. So years later, my dad said, well, you didn't get the money, but at least you got the radio part right.
Daddy. Daddy.
I know.
Well, sitting here on a bottle of all, you might not be aware, is a member of the Walk of Fame. Dave Ennett was inducted last year. Dave Ennett's plaque is right outside the window.
I know, because I listen faithfully. So I know that. But you know what? How I remember Dave Ennett? Because Dave looks exactly like a Spanish soap opera actor. And so every time, I don't remember his name now, Dave, but I'm going to look him up on the internet.
You got to look him up.
This is one handsome, that doesn't happen in radio that much, no offense.
Well, hello? But who are you talking
about? This man.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
Turn her mic off.
Oh, wait, I'm going to cough.
Have I ever been anything?
Look, he's blushing.
I am blushing.
I know.
Don't you call him abuelo?
What's abuelo?
Isn't it grandpa?
Si. But that's okay for a...
Yeah.
You know, wow, Andrea.
Really?
Honestly. Wow.
He's a grandfather.
You know what you just got? You know what she's got? You got a little window into Anna Bolivar's life at home where she says something inappropriate and then she turns on the cute and the volume.
Right.
And then she tries to cover up the mistake.
Spanish.
You know, can we get back to talking about me?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Isn't this right?
It's not my first language. It's not my first language. I have no idea what I said.
No, it's okay. It's totally fine. It really
but
is.
Yeah, he finally got what
definitely
he deserved.
Keep talking. A what?
At the WGN newsroom, the TV newsroom, Anna's desk. It's all, you know, it's just all cubicles. Anna's desk is adjacent to mine. It's right next to mine.
Yeah. Every day. I've gone through it before.
It's like an I Love Lucy episode in reverse. Where, right. Anna's on the phone yelling at somebody in Spanish. I'm on the phone yelling at somebody in English.
Uh-huh.
We're back and forth. I didn't mean that. She didn't say that. I didn't stop it. You know, I'm talking to somebody and she tells me, you could have put it this way. It would be better.
He argues a lot with people, which I don't. I'm not confrontational. So I've gotten a little bit of Dean and he's gotten a little bit of me. This year he's mellowed out.
Right.
And I'm the one who...
You're a little bitch here.
Right? I'm a little, yes, that
yes,
word.
Yes.
Also, he never knows when I'm about to die. Do not have a coughing spell next to this man. He doesn't know when I get a haircut.
Why are you coughing?
Nothing.
I did notice when you got a haircut last time.
It's taken 11 years.
Well,
11 years of sitting next to you.
So 11 years ago, she got a haircut. You just picked up on it?
Every time I get something done, in my hair, because I'm all natural.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to say that.
Yeah.
But he never notices.
She gets
coughing.
A little mad that she's coughing literally for like a half an hour before I go, are you okay?
People behind the window will say, do you need water? And he's like, what's wrong with her? I'm like, I'm being taken
what's
out.
What's wrong with her?
With
can
ambulance.
She be removed? What's wrong with her?
Because you're
is
in
that
your
the
zone.
TV
you're
again?
In, when you live in a cubicle world like that, you're right, in your right. zone. You're yeah. working. You don't pay attention to all the noise.
You work all the time. I sound like your wife now. You work all the time. You should need to slow it down.
But this is why you never had a shot and she ends up with her husband, Steve. It could have been the dean.
That's
in
the perfect
Anna
Steve
situation.
For me.
Right?
He's my TV husband.
I am
your
TV husband.
Yeah,
it's true. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank
at 10
you.
O'clock, we will go out and talk about you some
what
more.
What are we going to do?
We got
what,
nothing else to do.
What are we doing out there? Nobody's telling me what's happening.
You're going to go out. You're going to walk up on stage.
Yeah.
You're going to sit there like a moron. And then we're going to say nice things about you. And then some tape will play of your incredible contributions.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll ask you a couple of questions. And then we'll throw you out, man.
That sounds perfect.
We'll take a couple of pictures.
How long does this take?
Allegedly, we'll get it all in an hour.
Anna's heard that I'm the last one.
Again.
Oh.
You should have seen the Channel 9 TV people last Friday at the Silver Circle thing. Larry Potash looked like a refugee that had just washed up on shore. You know, they were out in Geneva at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like 10
7 o'clock.
O'clock
3 o'clock three. In the morning we were out there.
Yeah. He got up at midnight to get out there.
Yeah. And then I, of course, was helpful and went around reminding everybody. I'm sure the coal miners of West Virginia are tired tonight as well. Bunch of TV people sitting around complaining about how hard
that's
their lives
what my
are.
Mother would say. What are you complaining about?
Right.
Yeah.
We had to stay up the whole day.
You know how
Potash looked like he needed to be taken to a hospital.
None of us stay up past 7 or 8 o'clock at night. It was a big deal, and I was the last speaker, so... Like, it was a real test of friendship for people who stuck around.
You know, and it's a big night for a lot of people, right? So Jay Levine's up there talking, and you hear Balaval in the back going, wrap it up, Jay! Let's go!
Jay!
You know how I know that today is a big deal? Outside of the Allstate Showcase studio window right now, Kyle Wisner, who is the owner, I don't want to brag, Victory Auto Wreckers, my friend.
Oh.
That's incredible that you have that tie that's remained through all these years, that Victory Auto Wreckers tie, to the point where this guy's the new owner, isn't he?
He's the son of the original owner.
Oh, wow.
He's the son of the original owner. I recorded my first Victory
Auto
Wreckers.
You spent all your holidays with this family.
I do. 1991 is when I recorded. I'm the third announcer on the Victory Auto Wreckers commercial. Floyd Brown, who's also being inducted into the Walk of Fame today.
One?
He was voice number two.
And Walter Cronkite
and
was the original.
The great Carl Grayson was the very first voice on it. But I've been the voice since 1991. And how nice that Kyle and the Victory Auto Wreckers people came out to be part of the festivities.
I've never heard him schmooze this much. I think he either wants a car or keep the deal forever.
Oh, we got a mattress for mattress for you. We got a muffler for you. It's a big day.
I'm trying to get some probiotics out of the deal also.
I don't know.
You know what else we got for Dean? Dean, would you please validate my advice to you about the Grill Daddy?
Oh.
Steve, I don't know if Steve heard that.
Did you get the Grill Daddy?
After Dave's endorsement of the Grill Daddy, I went to 5 locations trying to find it because it was hard to find. I did finally locate it. I bought a Grill Daddy Pro. Mm. It's the upgraded model.
Oh, that's the one without the commercials.
That is... No, the Grill Daddy... I actually bought it also.
It's an app joke for the kids.
This is a steel brush for your grill that has water in it. So while you're cleaning your grill, the water comes out and steam cleans your grill. It has changed my grilling life forever, thanks to Dave Ennett.
By the way, if you're wondering how you tell if you get old, it's when you get really excited about the Grill Daddy.
About a grill brush.
Yeah,
Steve,
right?
That old grill may be worth money.
He wants another
Call
one, apparently.
Call GrillDaddyPro.com today.
This is his demo right there.
There it is. Mattress for mattress for you, a Grill Daddy for you. Dave, anything for you?
No, I'm good.
But, by the way, these guys doing more plugs than a yard sale out there. I can't believe how much crap you guys
apparently
are
plugging. Apparently, I felt so dirty. They better not call us that we're journalists.
Our friends at Lou Malnati's are outside. We're passing out pizza.
Yeah.
Garrett's Popcorn, we're passing out Garrett's.
Right.
Mark and Maureen Schultz. Coleman from Eli's Cheesecake created.
There's an organ transplant place out there. You're handing out live organs.
Bone marrow donations.
Yeah.
The Dean Cheesecake.
There's a Dean Cheesecake. Right. Did I plug everybody?
I think you
I'm sorry. I'm mesmerized by Peterick.
I think I got everybody.
Oh, and Jim
Peterick. Oh, Jim Peterick's going to sing a song for me.
Jim Peterick's here to sing with Purple Hair. So if you're 65 and we're planning on Purple Hair today, Peterick has dibs.
No, purple everything.
Purple leather. Yeah. He's got full leather and purple cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in to insult us. We appreciate that.
Are you late for the news?
I didn't insult you at all. It's a shock to everybody.
I didn't hear any insults.
Mike's head's about to explode, so before Jake loses his mind, we'll take a break, come back, and get your big story on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We've got a number of texts this morning from veterans who have said, take a day off from thanking us for our service on Memorial Day and remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, because that's what Memorial Day is all about. Enjoy the benefits of having time off with your family, being able to grill out and hang out and play a little baseball or whatever your case may be. But remember those who have given the most, because on Memorial Day, we should take time to pause and take time to talk to your grandkids or your kids about it as well to make sure they know. Don't assume the schools have taught that. Joining us in the studio is a friend of mine. And the Illinois Gold Star families are a very special group. Jim Frazier's here. Jim, I think I met you through Mark Slaby's Illinois Patriot Education Fund outing, didn't I?
We did.
How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
You are such a great spokesperson for Gold Star families. But let's start there. What is a Gold Star family?
Well, a Gold Star family is defined, actually, by the military. That is a term that is used for the loss of a loved one on active duty.
So it's a club you never want to be a part of.
Oh, you don't want to join.
Right.
The fee is kind of high.
Tell us who you lost.
I lost my son, Staff Sergeant Jacob Frazier, in March of 2003 in Afghanistan.
And what was the nature of his service?
He joined the Illinois Air National Guard, but when he got called up, he went full-time and went Special Operations Forces and was embedded with a 12-man alpha team of Green Berets out of Fort Bragg. His job was to call in close air support.
And was it a surprise situation when he and his buddies were caught in an area that they couldn't defend?
Yeah, they were actually set up by some townspeople for an ambush on the way back to their safe house, and it was very professionally done, but a lot of guys fought their way out, and sadly Jake and one of the Green Berets were killed.
You know, I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am for your loss. I tell you that whenever we do this every year, but you know how I feel.
Sure.
And as a Gold Star family member, I think some people might go, well, I don't know how you can deal with the pain, but then you're around other families who've been through the same thing. I think unless you've walked the walk your family has had, it's probably easier to talk to people about it, right?
Sure. First of all, I think I'm really a super lucky guy, because my Monday through Friday job is survivor outreach services for the Department of the Army. So my job is to work with the families of the fallen. I provide long-term care, resources, and events. So I'm lucky because I have a true belief that when we're together and we share where we are on the journey, that's the best healing. The best healing comes when I'm around other families who are experiencing the same thing.
Andrea, say hi to Jim.
Jim, thank you for being here, and thank you for your son's service. And I know we say that a lot, too, and it never gets old. I've asked soldiers, I always say thank you for your service. We all do. And we always say, is that okay? And they say, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the right thing to say and the right thing to do. And people always want to help and get involved somehow. Is there anything that we can do to either help Gold Star families or just in general?
Well, I think one of the things that I appreciate the most is if I meet somebody for the first time and they know the story, all they have to do is say, what was his name? And I tell them. And they say, where are you from or how old was he? And then tell me something about him. And then shut up.
It's the counterintuitive thing for a lot of people, because
they feel like they'd say something that might upset you. I mean, you can't cry hard enough with what you've been through. And to be able to talk about your son and tell a great story about him or a great family memory, that's another great way to honor his legacy.
Sure. And remember, too, that sometimes when I've talked to people, they say, well, you know, I don't want to remind you, you know, if I use his name, I don't want to remind you. I said, don't worry. It's not something I forget.
It's in your mind every day. But people mean well. But part of meaning well is taking that step to say, tell me about Jake. And as you said, shut up and listen.
And one of the other things is, and, you know, I'm always so happy to be involved with the city of Chicago. Come out as a community and support Memorial Day. We do a wonderful 11 o'clock ceremony at Daley Plaza. It's formal. There's a wreath laying. We're going to give banners to three families that haven't received them in the past. And that's what it's about. You know, spend a little time honoring all of our fallen throughout the years.
So the Memorial Day parade is tomorrow, so everybody understands.
Yeah, definitely tomorrow. Yeah. And we are one, right, Mary? We're one of the few cities that has, I think we have the biggest Memorial Day parade, right?
We should be one of the largest.
Lean into that microphone, yeah. Mary. You know microphones.
Yes, we have one of the largest.
I think
it is the largest.
Yeah. 6,000 to 7,000 participants, JRTC cadets.
And it's a beautiful tribute. Incidentally, my goddaughter's grade school, they're participating, and they learned the song, We Love Our Flag, Our Beautiful Flag, and they sang it the other night at one of their, at the graduation.
Oh, to see little kids do that?
Oh, for the kindergartners?
Do your heart
everyone was in tears.
I work with 110 people who had the same job, Survivor Outreach Services, around the country. And when I tell them about what Chicago does, they're like, holy cow. It is, we are by far the largest and best Memorial Day honoring our fallen. So I'm real proud.
And you should be.
I'm proud of the fact that Mayor Daley you know, really brought it back, and Rahm Emanuel is following suit, and he's been super.
Yeah, the mayor has fought hard to make sure that that's a day where we honor everybody in an appropriate way. And again, it's tomorrow, 11 a.m. at Daley.
Daley Plaza, that's the ceremony, and the parade kicks off at 12 o'clock.
Last question before I let you go back to do the work you really need to do. Gold Star families listening may not formally be Gold Star family members yet, or as far as the larger family goes. What do you tell them to do if they want to reach out to you?
They can easily go to www.sos.army.mil.
Okay, sos.army.mil.
Right. If you just type in Survivor Outreach Services, that'll bring it up. That will come to me eventually.
And the thing is, talking, it helps.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's key. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I'm proud of, too, is Illinois Patriot Education Fund. I'm looking forward to Tuesday. I'll see you there.
Yes.
There's a case where Mark and some folks got together, and they do a great job. And I'm talking with them about helping out some of the families of the fallen siblings.
That's great. That's great. For the Illinois Patriot Education Fund outing next week. Nice to see both of you. Mary, always great seeing you. And please thank the mayor, not just for the kale shakes, but for all the support as well. And Jim,
thank you,
all
Steve.
The best. And I know Jake's watching over you and watching over us. So thanks to Jake as well.
Thank you.
It's Memorial Day weekend, and you can honor all of our vets. Show up tomorrow and enjoy the parade.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
As a woman, how do you want to be hugged by a man, or does it depend on the man?
Depends on the man.
You do like the ass-out hug, where you like you hug each other like this, and you're trying not to get too close.
Does the turn during the hug, are you sending a message?
Yes. There's way too much hugging here, I think. I like my space is my space.
Get away from me!
She doesn't like people.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like people. Right. That's right.
Yeah, I forgot about people. That.
They're the worst.
I go in and hug a dude basically because I know it's going to make him a little uncomfortable, and I'm amused by it.
Bring it in for the real thing.
Guys hug much more than I remember growing up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was always a hearty handshake.
Oh, we never hug.
Yeah.
Never hug.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
8:57, we continue in the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Andre, you're going to take over the 9 o'clock hour. You and Dave will steer this sucker.
We will. You're going to be prepping and primping and getting ready for the to empty the Walk of Fame.
Actually, I don't have that much to do. I'm just tired.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
That's fine, too.
And Sandberg, is there anything in particular I have to do before 10 o'clock? I mean, you're kind of in charge of me.
No, it's already off the rails, so I've given up. But I want to know the over and under on how many hugs are going to be given at this ceremony, wanted, unwanted.
It's going to be an S-load. Yeah, it's going to be an S-load.
I thought you said an ass load.
No, well, and it's kind of the same thing.
We've also noticed today, not only does Andrea hug everybody, she's also a kisser.
I do. It's the Greek in me.
You were right on the lips with Dean. We saw it. There may have been open mouth. I'm not sure, but
That's different. I was trying to make Anna Balaval jealous.
Yeah.
So. But no, I do.
What are you doing, like a 23andMe test or something?
It's a Greek thing. We do the cheek kiss. So we don't kiss, but it's like a, you know, like a cheek kiss.
It's show business. Touching, feeling. It's all part of greeting each other. The 8 o'clock hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Bank. Should we check in with John one more time on the red carpet?
Yeah, let's do it.
John DeCause, who's done really a terrific job of covering the red carpet arrivals this morning. John, who's been your favorite so far?
Well, this guy I met at Grant Park.
Again, John, a little confused about the actual location of Pioneer Court.
Grant Park, first of all, I don't know what's going outside the window, but it is jammed with people. I don't know where they're going to do stuff, but Grant Park is empty right now.
I always forget, how much direction do I need to give John in particular for what I need on the show? But I figured if there was anything safer, I don't know what it would be. You go out, you turn left, and you're at Pioneer Court where we're doing the ceremony at 10 o'clock.
That's too many directions. You should have just stopped it. You go out.
Okay. Did you get a chance to talk to the big celebrities that were here?
Oh, yeah, I did. I talked to Dan Fabian,
former general manager.
Yeah, a little disappointed. I thought he was the teen idol from the 60s. Wrong.
No, that's a different Fabian. Did you have a chance to talk to former news director Tom Peterson?
He was all dressed in purple?
No, that's...
That's Jim Peterick.
That's Jim Peterick. Did you have a chance to see Max Armstrong?
Yeah, and again, disappointed. I thought he was the Max Stretch Armstrong.
No,
I had one of those.
No,
and I pulled his arm. He got all upset.
Why don't you take the rest of the day off? Because I think you've done enough here.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
9:12 in the morning, Steve Cochran Show. Our countdown to the Walk of Fame continues. Dave and I have initiated day two of the coup.
Yeah, just a partial coup today, only the last hour. But every day, gradually, we'll take over the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, a little bit each day.
By next week, by about, since it's a short work week, maybe by Thursday we'll have the whole show again.
It'll be DNA.
Yeah.
All DNA.
The DNA show.
All the time. Steve has stepped outside. He and Steve Bertrand are going to co-MC the Walk of Fame ceremony. And how exciting. The sun is kind of hiding right now, but that's okay. There's no rain yet. And all the honorees are starting to come in with their families. And it's so nice to see so many familiar faces.
Yeah, like Adam Phillips, our engineer. He's walking by right now and waving. So.
I mean, esteemed.
Oh, you mean the honorees.
Esteemed faces, yeah.
Esteemed faces.
Floyd Brown is here with his wife, Tom Peterson. I saw with his grandkids. They're all taking pictures by their plaques. So it's going to be a beautiful ceremony.
So I've seen probably 5 of the 7 so far, and I'm sure they're all here.
I didn't see Max.
I've not seen Max yet. There's Dan Fabian. He's walking by now. So, it's going to be a great morning, and this should be... Should be a lot of fun. It's always a great event.
I love our listeners. We had the listener who showed up to present Dean with a cheesecake, with a picture of Dean on the cheesecake, which is unique in itself. And then there's a gentleman who's been standing outside for about an hour now with a red case tractor waiting to see Max Armstrong to get him to sign it.
Everybody knows Max's love for tractors.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it all starts at 10 o'clock. And again, Steve will be hosting the event. And we'll have it right here.
Right here, 720 WGN. You can also listen on our website, WGNradio.com, and on your app. So you had a chance to talk to someone a little earlier today.
Well, it's a big weekend, of course, in Indianapolis, the 100th Indianapolis 500. Our motorsports guys, Pete Pistone, he is heard regularly on Bleacher Report Radio and Sirius XM Motor Racing Network. And so we asked Pete for his thoughts on the headline of this year's Indy 500.
I think that's it, Dave. The 100th running of this race, which the first race was 1911. So if you do a math out there, there were a few years they didn't have the race during World War One. and World War II. But I think that's the story. And the upside of that is they're expecting 350,000 people at Indianapolis on Sunday afternoon. They've sold out the race for the first time in about a decade. And there's just a lot of energy around this race. And I think the other side of it is the competition that we're going to see in the race might be about as equal as I can remember in some time. There's about 12 or I would say maybe 13, 14 different drivers, Dave, that have a very, very excellent shot of winning the race on Sunday.
Well, James Hinchcliffe won the pole. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But this the sellout, Pete, there are a lot of people from Chicago who go to Indianapolis every year for the 500. Let's say you don't have a ticket now. What are the odds that you could walk up to the Speedway? Because we know how big it is, and we know how they like to say that you could fit half the world inside that place on race day. What are the odds that you could walk up there on Sunday and get a ticket?
Well, officials have told me that you wouldn't be able to buy anything from the box office, Dave. I mean, and that means 230,000 permanent seats around the track. Those are all sold. General admission is sold out, and the infield is sold out. Now, that's not to say you wouldn't find somebody, you know, who had some tickets on the corner or something like that, but they are asking people, the race starts around noon Eastern time. They're telling people to get there maybe 6-7 hours early.
Wow.
To accommodate what's going to go on down there. And you know what's funny, Dave? Before we had the split in IndyCar racing in the mid-90s, this was sort of the norm at Indianapolis. The 500 would always put 300, 350,000 people. But then open wheel racing had a split. There were two series. The popularity sort of waned. But now it's back to where it was, and it's going to be quite the sight to see.
And of course, asking fans to get there 6 or 7 hours early isn't really that much of a stretch anyway on race day. Let's talk about Hinchcliffe, because this is really a cool story.
James Hinchcliffe last year was in a horrible accident during practice at Indianapolis and nearly lost his life. They had to put 22 pints of blood in him after the injury he had to his leg. And here we are 1 year later, and he's back at Indianapolis racing, and he's back at Indianapolis now leading the field to green from the pole. Small team, Sam Schmidt Motorsports, not one of the mega teams like Roger Penske's or Chip Ganassi's or Michael Andretti's. And it really is the quintessential Cinderella story. He's a Canadian driver. He's very popular. He's very personable. And it was really an emotional way last week to kick this week off and lead up to the race that he's back and feeling good and he's going to have the number one spot when the green flag flies Sunday afternoon.
Well, you mentioned Penske, and certainly he's got some of the guys who are among the favorites. Who do you look at first, Castro Neves, Juan Pablo Montoya?
You know, Montoya won this race a year ago, and he has come back after his foray into NASCAR for a few years and is really at the top of his game. I would certainly say he's got to be right near the list of favorites, Dave. And, of course, Helio Castroneves, who won this race so many times, and he's been a little bit off. Roger Penske has 16 BorgWarner trophies. That's the trophy you get when you win the Indy 500. Nobody's close to that. They've been a little bit off in practice this week and a little bit off in qualifying, but I expect both those guys that you mentioned to be near the front of the field. It's tough to bet against the captain when Indianapolis 500 time rolls around. And I think it's going to be the same story.
And it's, what, his 50th anniversary?
Yeah, 50th anniversary of Penske Racing. He started as a driver back in the day, and he has a NASCAR team that's doing pretty well, and he's got IndyCar drivers that are always near the front of the field today.
All right, how about a sleeper pick?
Well, I talked to a guy earlier this week who's with Andretti Autosports, and no one will know him if you don't follow the sport on a regular basis. His name is Carlos Munoz. He drives for Michael Andretti. He qualified fifth. He's a Colombian driver. Doesn't have a lot of oval track experience, Dave, but he has really turned a lot of heads this week. He could be somebody starting from the fifth spot that maybe you don't know about, not a household name, but somebody you could see drinking the milk in Victory Lane there Sunday afternoon.
All right, so keep that name in mind as a possible sleeper. And our thanks to Pete Pistone. He always does a great job covering all motorsports and the Indianapolis 500. He is a veteran.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they drink milk? What's the significance of the milk tradition?
The significance?
I mean, I know they do it every year, but yeah. Why milk? How did that start?
Well, you know, there's nothing on a hot hot afternoon in late May.
Can I help you on this?
Yes,
Orion. Please, Big O.
Please do. Please do. Thank God.
Well, we are approaching June, which is June Dairy Month, And the dairy farmers and the American Dairy Association in Indiana thought instead of champagne or something else, we'd like to establish the milk tradition. And I don't know how many years ago it was. Max could probably tell you because he is a Hoosier and I'm sure was involved when they got started on that. But, yeah, it's the Dairy Association, the dairy farmers that really get a pretty good headline for their product with this event at the Indy 500.
Hey, Max. Hey, Max.
Max just arrived
right out in front of the showcase. Max
Rascal.
Armstrong.
Rascal.
Rascal.
Rascal, he can't hear us.
Max's wife, Max looks good, but Max's wife looks stunning. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
She always has.
Oh, stunning. Yeah. And finally, Orion, this gentleman has been standing outside of our showcase studio for about an hour with a red case tractor, and Max has spent a good 5 minutes talking to him and signed it for him. So he has a little receiving line going right there.
Yes, well, good for him.
Yeah, he does. Oh, wait a minute. Here's...
Oh, Max is going
to
come in.
We just have a question. He could go to the street mic.
He's going to come in and visit with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with one of our honorees, Max Armstrong, coming up in just a second here on WGN.
I make a little room and she climbs on up. I open up a throttle and stir a little dust. Just look at her face. She ain't a fool in me.
Here it comes,
She thinks my tractor sexy.
Oh, that voice is the Rascal himself.
The Rascal.
Welcome,
hello, you rascals.
Inductee, honoree, Max Armstrong.
Mr. Emmett, how are you, sir?
Oh, Max, great to see you.
Andrea Darles.
We are so happy you're here, and welcome to your beautiful wife, Linda, who's with you in studio as well.
Thank you.
How excited are you?
Well, I wasn't until I was invited into the studio. This is the cool thing, to be back in the showcase studio.
Well, we were hollering at you. You were standing out in front. And so Orion pointed out a question had come up, why the winner of the Indianapolis 500 drinks milk in Victory Lane. And Orion explained it. But he said Max would know exactly when the tradition begins.
Oh, you know, I'm not real sure. It has to go back certainly to the early 60s. I remember Foyt and Unser and all of those guys back when Sid Collins handled the broadcast on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network. Johnny DeCamp was one of the guys on the curve. And it was a tremendous radio broadcast back in the 60s. And, of course, you know, it was very limited television coverage of it back in those days, too. But, yeah, the Dairy Association has always sponsored that honorary splashing, sloshing, messy milk
drink. That's why.
I knew the story, but I just wanted Orion and Max to really explain it.
Would they ever make chocolate milk or strawberry?
No. It's always white.
It has to be white.
Yeah.
Okay, for the purity of the race. Max, you have such an illustrious career. We're so excited for you. We've known you forever. Well, not forever. For many, many, many years. And I'm sure this is a question you get all the time, but most memorable broadcast experience.
I know there's a million, but maybe
one of the funniest or most memorable moments that you've ever had on the air.
Well, many of them, as you two would understand, would have been alongside Bob Collins because, you know, you never knew what to expect, obviously, from him. You know, he in his briefcase, he always had the medical journals packed in there, as he called them, and he set my script on fire a couple of times. And
did he really?
You never knew because you were sitting so close to him.
Took a lighter and...
Oh, yeah. That was back in the days there was quite a bit of smoking in the station. You know, smoking. There would be an ashtray, you know, in every room and, of course, all of the conference rooms. And he would just reach over there. And I took this stuff seriously.
Yes.
You know, this was not anything to mess with. And the more seriously I took it, of course, that only antagonized him. You know, it made him want to do it more.
You know, I've made this comment before that to me, that half hour from 4:30 right up until 5 when Bob came into the studio, but it was you and Steve and Johnny, you would come in about 10 till, you were Orion. But when you came into the studio, it always seemed like Johnny got into something, or you brought something up.
No, I think you antagonized Johnny.
Yeah,
Putman.
You did.
No. You know what part of the problem was? I would stop out in Lyle, the Arboretum Village of Lyle, and I would get a Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
I would have a Mountain Dew on my way into the city. So I was a walking time bomb when I came in the studio.
So that was your caffeine, right? Yeah, you were a coffee guy.
That's right.
You got a Mountain Dew.
That's right.
Are you enjoying sleeping? Well, you don't sleep in every single day.
Not much. No.
You're still
on a bunch of radio stations across the country every day, and it's a privilege to do my broadcast, the Midwest Digest, it's called. So I get up early. I get up bright and early.
I think Big O is upstairs on the 7th floor joining us with his former colleague, Big O.
Hello, Big O.
Hello again. Hello, Max. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I see you in the monitor there.
Yeah, hello there. I hope you stay sober today.
Oh. Too late for that, pal.
Okay. Orion, just through the ceremony, because I think there's a ceremonial champagne toast that Dave's already dipped into, but I think the ceremonial champagne toast is at noon.
There really is one?
Yes, there is.
Wow. How do you like that?
We'll start
it's a surprise. It's a surprise champagne toast. Yeah,
well, Not anymore.
My concern is, with him being Norwegian, you don't know what kind of stuff he sneaks in here.
Well, I'd sneak a little brandy in, but I think milk is okay, too.
And you two, I just have to say, watching and listening to you guys over the years, one of the best duos in broadcasting, Orion Samuelson, Max Armstrong.
Well, one of the most memorable moments, now that you bring it up, was when we were sitting in this studio. Dave Orion would have been sitting right where you were, and I would have been to his right, about 3 feet. And we were on with the noon show, and all of a sudden, this couple came up outside the window. They met right in front of the window, a man and a woman, and obviously, they hadn't seen each other in a long time.
I mean,
a long time. I heard Orion stumble in the pork belly prices that day. He was almost speechless.
Yeah, the woman outside the window stumbled in the pork belly process as
She did a little more than that.
Well, we are so happy to have you here. Congratulations. I know they want you guys outside to take some pictures, and we're going to be honoring you in just about a half an hour.
Well, thanks for the privilege of being on with the two of you. I've always enjoyed working with you and continue to enjoy listening to you.
We love you, Max.
Welcome home.
Yeah, welcome home. You are our rascal. That's the great Max Armstrong. And this hour is sponsored by IWantSmart.com. Back after this on WGN. That music is for our general manager, Jimmy DeCastro, vice president of creative content. Is that your title, Todd?
I'm program director.
Todd Manley, Jimmy DeCastro, the brains behind the Walk of Fame and the reason that we have the Walk of Fame in studio. What a beautiful day. Another celebratory, wonderful day.
How lucky are we? How lucky are we, Chicago, to kick off Memorial Day weekend and have a special third class go into the Walk of Fame? It's pretty exciting down here.
You know, it's like sitting here and watching the honorees walk by the Showcase Studios. They've been arriving for the last hour, 90 minutes. I mean, it's kind of like watching Chicago radio history walking right past your window. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I was just sharing with Floyd Brown, one of our inductees, about, you know, how it was such an honor the first time I came to work here in late 98 to get to work alongside him before he retired. But it goes back I told him that he was as much a part of going to the Dells as the Ducks, because my dad would put us in every two-lane road between here and, you know, anywhere in Wisconsin every summer weekend. And it was never a full trip until we heard the Floyd Brown Show on Sunday night. And it was just cool to see him again.
That was, of course, after the sports writers, when Ben Bentley would say, thank you, Floyd Brown.
That's exactly right.
I know you guys don't like accolades, but, I mean, to see this having become a reality now, this is the third year in a row. It started out as some drawings and an idea, and now it's a reality. You have to be so proud.
We are proud. We're really proud, and it's a family. You know, the station is a family, and it starts with the audience. And the amazing letters and phone calls that I've gotten, I know Todd has this week, from people who came to the station or had something to do with the station, with the seven honorees today, as they were with the 10 last year and the year before. And when you walk outside and you see it, from the initial idea of kind of a takeoff on the Grauman's Chinese Theater of putting your hands in, what could we do at this very special place for this very special station? And it started honoring our legends. And how do we honor our legends, but how do we make the station better every single day? And the way to do that is to bring these people back, and they paved the way. And this particular class, we have some great storytellers, as Todd likes to say, but we have a lot of behind-the-scenes, barrier-breaking people that really did the jobs. Dave, the other day when you had Marilyn on, you were talking about Wally's studios and the two engineers and the music director and all the people, and how they don't have today's technology, but yet they cared about Chicago. They cared about including this incredible city. And when you look outside right now, and I love, by the way, don't let anybody tease you about the hugs.
Okay,
Andrea, you give the greatest hugs in the world, and the Greek two-kissed hug cheek. I learned from you and Anna. But I'm seeing these different people. There's you know, Dave Kaplan. There's people who've been here 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, hearing the story of Max and Orion burning copy and teasing each other. It's just given me good ideas.
The backstories are great, though, too. Marilyn Miller, who's the sweetest person you would ever want to meet, telling us yesterday, yeah. I could be a Rottweiler. That's the sweetest person ever.
And seeing them, they're all touched to be honored, which is the special part, that we get a chance to stop and thank them for their contributions. And for all of them, from JC in the engineering to Dan Fabian, who ran the station. And also, we have to say a special thank you to Jackie Paulus, who's our marketing director, who could not have happened without her. Mm-hmm. It started as an idea, and she's the type of person to carry it through and actually get it done. And to Marlene and Sarah, Marlene Wells, she's out there hugging everybody because she's been part of their lives, as so many listeners here and so many promotions and remotes that we've been at.
Marlene was out here at 6 in the morning, just so you know, with a watering can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Watering every plaque, literally with her little flowered watering can, cleaning those off.
Well, speaking of watering the plaques, I do have something here, Dave.
Yes, we were going to ask.
Yeah, you got to get a picture of this.
We have a gold-plated broom that has some very special accoutrements that go along with it, that every morning when I come to work, I promise Dave Ennett that I will go out and I will clean his plaque. I may not do Spike, but I am going to clean Dave Ennett's plaque and sweep the Walk of Fame as an honor to all the people who have come before us. So this, Dave, is for you with love and affection, and for all of the inductees in the Walk of Fame.
Jimmy, I don't know what to say. I'm so honored. I'm so touched. I'm looking forward to it.
There's a street performer about a half a block down who wants his broom back, Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to pay that guy $100 last year. He was singing the Tracks of My Tears. I went up and tried to sing next to him to get him to move. No, honest to God, and we also had to pay all the construction people to stop the jackhammers.
That's right.
From 10 o'clock to 11:30 for today's Walk of Fame.
I have to ask you, of this year's enshrinees, who had the most emotional reaction or seemed genuinely the most touched when you told them?
Who cried the most?
Actually, to be honest, the neatest thing to watch happen was how it hit people in different waves. You know, we went out to Bradley Place to visit Dean. Dean was in the middle of 10 celebrity interviews, just doing his work. And, you know, he was sort of shell-shocked, speechless. And then these sort of sweet texts started flowing, you know, about a day later when he's like, wait a minute, were you and Jimmy just here? And did you say, you know what I mean? And so you get a little bit of that. And then, you know, you get people like JC, who, to me, was amazingly innovative. We've been talking around here about how the center column of the cars are changing. 15 years ago, he was telling me, you realize, Todd, there's going to be a thing in your car where there's a button for a stream, and there's a button for AM, and a button for FM, and a button for, you know, your plug-in. And, you know, he was kind of making plans for that way back when. So, you know, that was another guy who was like, hey, I was just trying to keep us in the future. And so he was extremely touched. Everybody was really touched. And to see it kind of all culminate here as what Ro is beginning to call every afternoon the corner of Michigan Avenue in heaven.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's great.
Very cool.
We should shout out to the engineering department, too, because they've done an amazing job. JC was one of the, obviously, founders that's brought the engineers here. But Bill and Jim and his team have done a great job. And the interesting thing now is that while we're broadcasting this throughout Chicagoland, it's really beamed throughout the world. We have 1.2 million stream connects each month, and we're on mobile devices all over the world. So there's a piece of Chicago that we're bringing back, and that's also part of what we're trying to do with the Walk of Fame, to really make something meaningful that people can be part of as part of this incredible city.
And the listeners are fantastic. They've been showing up. That gentleman who was waiting outside for Max, I think he said he was from Dixon, so he drove all morning to be here, waited outside for an hour just to meet Max, and everybody's fans are showing up too, so our listeners are the best.
When we told Max also, that it was an emotional time. I went out to his TV station out in Aurora, and that particular day, Todd had something that he wasn't able to do, so we spoke with him, and then I went out to just touch base with him and see him in person, and he was shocked. He was just really shocked. And to have, you know, Orion and Max there, it's just, it's a real treat. It's a dream. So thank you for having us on today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming inside.
We love that and part of it. David, having you in. Andre, I can't wait till the day that you're in the Walk of Fame. I hope that I'm still here for that.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to Larry Wirt, my wingman.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Big love. Happy 65th, brother. Bye.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Todd. Get on out there. The celebration is just going to begin in about 10 minutes, and we'll bring it to you live right here at 720 WGN. All gets underway, but first this on 720 WGN. Yeah. We're getting ready for a party here on Pioneer Court, and you can listen at home if you can't make it down. 720 WGN on your app, on your computer at work. Your boss isn't going to care. Our bosses don't. Well, of course, they're throwing the party, so... You know what's so cool? Dave, you and I have been sitting here. I think we're like, we are literally like kids in a candy bowl because everybody, Steve and Johnny, everybody's starting to show up. We're saying, there's Steve and Johnny. There's all, Dave Stewart.
All these people we've worked with over the years. Wayne Larrivee, who was the voice of the Bears in 1985 and actually for about 11, 12, 13 years after that.
Yeah. Bruce Dumont.
David Kaplan.
Who? David Kaplan.
All these people are here.
You mean Mindy's husband.
Mindy Kaplan's husband is here.
Because Mindy's our new favorite Kaplan now. She brought us
Lou Malnati's pizza this morning.
Yeah. But this is going to be a wonderful celebration. Yeah, we keep seeing people arriving on Pioneer Court here. Steve Cochran and Steve Bertrand are going to be your MCs for the event. And it's going to be a great party. I just, fingers crossed, I think the rain will hold off. We can just talk quickly.
Right.
I like Jimmy said.
We can always accelerate the ceremony if need be. But I think we'll be okay. The first 2 years of this, the sun has shone on the Walk of Fame. And hopefully that'll be the case once again today. It is. And I didn't want to embarrass Jimmy by saying this when he and Todd were in here. But I really believe there aren't too many radio stations, maybe a handful of stations in the country that could do this.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any that could do it any better than this station has done.
I completely agree. Completely agree.
So last year at this time, Dave, about 5 minutes before ceremony started, what was your feelings in the moment?
Yeah, what's going through your mind?
Well, for one thing, it was, I had several family members here. My dad was here,
yeah,
who is now 92. And I was trying to make sure they were all situated and had a little bit of shade because it was hot.
It was hot, yeah.
And then I was just thinking, okay, if Steve says this to me, do I say this? Do I try to get
wild
your thoughts?
Card.
Because you don't make a speech, but you try to think of what you might say if asked a particular question. But I just, the whole day was just a wonderful blur now when I look back on it. And it's just great. And very emotional, and I'm sure that's going to be the case for the inductees here today.
I liked hearing the stories about how when Todd and Jimmy were telling the Walk of Famers that they were being inducted, just the amount of emotion. Just think about that. Years of just hard work and determination.
Honestly, when they called me in to the office and said, sit down. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And honestly, told me, and they showed me a rendering of the plaque, and I'm like, okay, the joke's very funny, but like, what did you really want to talk about? And I really didn't believe that I was going to be a part of it.
Well, richly deserved.
The one thing that makes it extra special is it's one of those stations where there are so many people to choose from.
Yeah.
Like, this is we could have 50 inductees a year,
mm-hmm,
and still all of them be important. So the fact that you're one of the very few is really special. Special for these seven this year.
It's a tremendous honor, and I was glad to be here to hear Jimmy say, the day that you go in, Andrea, he did say that.
He did, yes.
He referred to the day that you go in. There is hope. Oh,
there's
a lot of hope.
further down the road, there is hope. Okay, our festivities will begin in just a few minutes. Thanks to everybody for putting the show on today, of course. Mary Sandberg, Mike Jacobson, Bennett Wake Knight, Mary Vandeveld, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran, and myself. So thanks to everybody. Our ceremony is going to begin after a newscast from Kim. But first this on WGN.